He's New England's preeminent source on everything Patriots.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
I have been told the same thing Curran has been told.
The one and only Tom E. Curran. Tom Curran joining us.
I bend over to Tommy Curran.
Tom Curran joining us from NBC Sports Boston.
It's time for Tuesday with Tom.
I'm surprised about Tom E. Curran.
E.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Curran. On Dale and Keefe.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Keep on laughing.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is our buddy from NBC Sports Boston, Tom E. Curran. Hello, Tommy.
Hello, fellas. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. A beautiful day out here in southeastern Massachusetts. We're real happy about it. I hope everybody's doing good and had a good weekend.
I wouldn't know. I'm sitting in my basement, Tom, but thank you for providing that nice update. So, Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, reported within the last few minutes that he is reporting NFL coaches will be allowed to report to their facilities next week. Mini camps June 15th to June 27th. Are you hearing anything similar, and is this just a logical step towards moving forward here?
Yeah, definitely a logical step. What'll be interesting, however, is as we continue with the NFL trying to make sure that there is no team left behind, say, for instance, Charlie Baker in Massachusetts or Cuomo in New York decides that that's a pace at which they're not comfortable with, will teams continue to hold coaches out? Say, for instance, and they're already allowing 50 people into the facility here in Massachusetts, so I suppose if they say coaches can go, but there's also rehabbing players, there's training staff, there's medical staff, so it'll be interesting in every locality to see how things flesh out, but it is the next logical step, and I think it's a reasonable one, too, although I'm sure there'll be many folks who are inflamed by the notion of it.
Well, in some states, Tom, you're right. I think in this state in particular, when Dale brought this story up, I mean, I'm just trying to envision players getting back to work in the middle of June and where we are now in May. I just find it hard in this state. Now, could they go to Rhode Island, as Andy mentioned earlier, and go practice down there? Maybe they could, but in a state-by-state basis, I think we're living one right now where they're slow to react than others, and I'm not going to be shocked if there's at least somewhat of a fight, if not internally, then outwardly, about the team getting back to work at the same pace as the NFL in the state that we live in right now.
Yeah, and there are reasonable discussions to be had on that, and I think that we've gotten to a point where we've had very polarized discussions, which quickly devolve into extreme views on both sides, you know, as if not wearing a mask is a badge of courage and standing up for, you know, the union and, you know, asking people to wear masks is, you know, the height of cowardice. There are many, many, many more logical people, I would say 9 out of 10, who can have a reasonable discussion. I think here in Massachusetts, we've been hit a lot harder than they have, say, for instance, in a Missouri, a Florida, a Texas, a Georgia, whether it's climate, whether it's density of population. So I think it is reasonable for people here to say, we want to do that yet? Because in different states, they are further ahead. That's where the rubber will meet the road, Andy, right? When Charlie Baker is in conflict, perhaps, with Jerry Jones.
Yeah, I'm in a very emotional guy. You know this, Tom. And I ride a roller coaster over this whole coronavirus pandemic, whether it's youth sports or the professional sports world. I have now a pretty good feeling. I feel like there's positive momentum in all four major sports and throughout the everyday world in this country. Are you feeling that momentum? Do you feel like there's a good chance come September 13th, the New England Patriots will be playing football?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. And again, I think that in stating that and you asking that question, I'm sure there's people in their cars right now who are banging the steering wheel and saying, second surge, second surge. And yes, inevitably, when we do interact more and the temperature's cool, there will be more cases, unless there's a vaccine. Again, this is amateur epidemiologist, English major from St. Anselm, Tom Curry, giving his take on it. But when that happens, do we retreat fully? Or do we say, look, we're so much smarter now than we were in March. And when we withstood this in March and went through what that surge was, and we never ran out of ventilators as we were concerned, and we never ran out of ICU beds, and we never had to triage, well, we can deal with this better. So hopefully, if that means no fans at Gillette, no fans at Gillette. It'll be interesting, too. That's another interesting aspect of this and what Charles Robinson is bringing up. Because as we go forward, if Charlie Baker says, we're not doing groups of fans, and Reliant Stadium or someplace says, we're going to allow 20,000 in. Is there a home field advantage that teams now have that changes the balance of power?
In your opinion, will Roger Goodell allow that? If, for instance, and we'll just use the Patriots, Charlie Baker says you can't put people in the stands. We're not ready for that here. Why would you then allow the Tennessee Titans or the Jacksonville Jaguars or whoever to stick people in their stands?
Great question. There were 22 of 32 teams last week when I spoke to Judy Batista on our Patriots Talk podcast who were going to be limited last week when they made their first openings. So you're going to have 22 places who are conceivably already ahead of us on the Eastern Seaboard in this Eastern Corridor, Northeast Corridor. So if you have a mass of Florida and Texas teams that are saying, we can put 30 and 40,000 in here, Roger. We need to meet payroll. We need to make sure the cap doesn't go down. We need to do these things. At some point, Roger Goodell is going to have to yield to his bosses, as he always eventually does, and majority will rule. So what would you – I mean, I think you would have to open the doors and gates. And this is all four guys shooting the breeze and not knowing exactly how it would turn out. But logically speaking, for all of us who follow this closely, at the end of the day, the owners and the money will win out. And if the teams like the Patriots can't have fans in the stadium, there will be a suck it moment.
So let's shoot the breeze on this then, Curran. since we're trying to figure out what might happen. I know baseball is talking about a roster setup where expanded roster and then a 20-man taxi squad. Do you think the NFL rosters will change at all? I know they got the 53-man and the active and the practice squad. Do you see any reason to change that in the era of coronavirus for this upcoming season?
Sure. Yes, I do. I think that every agent is going to be very busy. I think that anybody who played in the XFL, CFL, he should be doing his push-ups, sit-ups, and shuttles regularly, because you might have to do something like that. That's a great question. It's something that Mike Florio broached last week in a most ridiculous way, but it's kind of makes sense. He said, should one team quarantine a quarterback completely? So you take Jamar Smith. Is it Smith? Jamar
yes.
Smith, right?
Yes.
Okay. You take Jamar Smith and you put him in a bubble and you let Hoyer and you put Hoyer in the bubble.
Yeah, Hoyer. He'll be ready. Just
Hoyer
put him in a bubble.
Goes in the bubble and you put Jamar Smith and Jarrett Stidham out there so that if both of those guys, you know, show up with 101 temperature and a cough on a Thursday, they get sent over to whatever holding pen you have to go to, and in comes Hoyer to save the day. So it's absurd, but again, this is going to be a very, very interesting season to watch and to see how it's going to unfold,
like,
because we don't know.
Sounds like something Belichick would do, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, actually.
Yes. So, well, we actually planned for that in May. We've had Brian in a full body mask.
Tom, I don't know if you read Ben Volen's story about NFL return last week in the Globe. I thought it was really interesting. He posed a couple things, details that I hadn't really thought of, one of which was shaking up the whole locker room environment because you don't want all the offensive linemen sitting next to each other, because if one gets it, you could wipe. I thought that was interesting, a minor detail, but something to think about. And the other thing that was in there, and I know you talk a lot to Florio and Judy and people around the league, was the idea that everybody fixate on the start of the NFL season. Maybe the concern should be on the back end of it because of a second wave, a second peak. And should they try to have a shorter season with an earlier Super Bowl, an earlier playoff run to avoid, oh, great, we played, you know, 14 regular season games and now we have to shut down before we get to the playoffs. Have you heard any mention or consideration of something like that?
No, it's more of dragging it out. Can we go into March if necessary?
Right.
Can we change the schedule? So, it's everything. There is not a stupid suggestion right now, I think, by anybody to talk about what is conceivably able to happen, what could we do, should we do. The likelihood is that there will be a 16-game NFL season in which players get COVID, some coaches get it, there's limited fans in the stands, but ultimately they'll play 16 games and have the playoffs. And you know, the notion of a second surge. I again, from what we've all become, I think, amateur epidemiologists, it's virtually impossible to avoid. But when it emerges, does it need the same treatment that the first quote-unquote surge has had, or the initial onslaught? It's been profound, again, in the Northeast Corridor. But there are other places. Witness the Ozarks in Missouri, where people are rolling their eyes and tisking and talking about Darwinism wiping all those people out. There's just not as much damage has been done. So there are different viewpoints throughout the country on what should be done and what will be done. And I think up here, again, ours is informed by what we've seen, what our friends have realized, what our relatives, neighbors, people who've been directly affected, impacted tragically by this will inform our opinions of what should happen.
You say there's no dumb ideas or dumb questions, just a dumb Andy to pose a possibility here. What if on the eve of the Super Bowl 55, whatever the hell number it is, Friday afternoon, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady both test positive for coronavirus? Would they play that game?
I mean, it's going to be non-negotiable. You know, they went with, for instance, with the concussion protocol, they brought in an independent neurosurgeon. Do you bring in an independent independent COVID-19 or CDC? I think they actually already have gone to independent folks in making sure that the places are compliant. So you would have to do that. So no, they would not play if they had a temperature of a certain level that would keep them out. So interesting, though, I think we've all come to see, we've been shot a number of times on the forehead if we've been out and about. I'm about a 97.5 guy.
Oh, nice. You're running cool. I always thought you'd be a bit of a hothead.
All right,
no, but it goes up to 102 real quick.
I ask this not because Mutt is part of the panel today, but we're lucky that he is.
Because
we've
asked some gambling questions throughout the course of the day.
Here we go.
I noticed that in the AFC East, the Bills are a very slight favorite over the New England Patriots as the best team in the East. I noticed BetOnline has posted their co-favorites for NFL Coach of the Year, Bill Belichick and Bruce Arians. I mean, I have to admit, I think they're just toying with us, but I kind of like it.
Yes, that's a great point. Well, who's got expectations that are higher and who's got expectations that are lower? I would say that Bruce Arians actually is putting higher expectations. You got nitwits like me saying 13-3, Brady's going to throw for 4,500 with 41 touchdowns and 13 picks. So when they go 11-5, and his numbers don't look like that, is that a disappointment? And with Belichick, well, he has a receiver core plucked, you know, from the dregs of the NFL in some cases, or guys who are borderline or still unproven. And this is the prime position. It's always the coach, or almost always the coach, who succeeds when he was thought positioned to not do well, that gets it. So I would say Belichick probably does have a better chance. If he can coach Jarrett Stidham and the Patriots to the playoffs, I would say, against this schedule, in the age of Corona, then I think he would have to be the inside track guy.
The NFL is at least talking about a rule change. I know you like, Tom, you like the 4th-and-15, go for it instead of the onside kick. I know you and I talked about this Thursday. We're both on board. The way I think it works is that the teams will talk to the coaches and get their input. Will the coaches be for this or against this? Because I love the idea, and I'm hopeful that they're all going to be sort of like Camp Belichick and think, yes, new is good. Do you think NFL coaches like the 4th-and-15 instead of the onside kick opportunity?
My instinct is yes, that they will be. You look at the Sean Paytons, the Bill Belichicks, the Mike Tomlins. You know how often Mike Tomlin goes for it on 2 points or goes for 2 points. I think that these coaches are smart enough to understand that right now the onside kick is a non-play.
Yeah,
I would have to look up what the success rate is, Mutt. But as we saw, it dropped precipitously with the rule change that said you can't overload one side or the other.
It was 12% this past year, and it was only 12% because the kicker the Pats cut went to Atlanta, converted 2-1 game.
So, I mean, now you're just trying to kick it off somebody's helmet and have it ricochet back. And that's a low percentage play. So I would imagine that teams understand that when we're trailing, we have to have some kind of recourse, and this provides it. Even if it's weird, I think it'll be fun. Honest to God, I mean, what do you do on 4th-and-15? If you got Gronk, and, you know, Mike Evans, and you have options. You have options to make something happen. If you have Julian Edelman and James White, can you do a dump-off? Can you try things, you know, N'Keal Harry on the sweep? All these things. Do you run a hook and lateral? I mean, it could be really fun to see what teams would come up with, and I guarantee you they'll come up with some really cool 4th-and-15 package of plays that they can dip into if they need to.
Tom, you wrote a book with Julian Edelman, so I'm going to guess you have a decent relationship with him.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. I'm just wondering. He's a guy that I think, you know, is obviously very much directly related by the departure of Tom Brady and the quarterback. He's a 100-catch slot machine. How do you think he's going to handle this season and this adjustment for post-Tom Brady life? And especially if, quite frankly, the quarterback position isn't playing on all that well and his numbers are down and there's some frustration that could set in.
He is an unbelievably competitive guy. You don't get to where he's gotten if you're not, especially the size that he was coming out of high school, especially the size that he was in junior college, the way he performed at Kent State, all that stuff. So we understand what he is. But he's also a really good teammate. And if he hasn't realized it by now, and I'm sure that he has, there's going to have to be a loyalty shown and expressed and delivered upon to make sure that if the team is going to do well, Jarrett Stidham doesn't feel like he's going to get Spuds McKenzie over there pissed at him every time he doesn't throw to him. So that, I think, has to have, you know, be job one for Julian Edelman. Now, did Randy Moss respond to that in 2008? No, he sucked at it. He sucked at it with Matt Castle. And it didn't help Castle. Fortunately, for whatever reason, Castle had the mental strength to deal with Randy Moss, even though he hadn't played really since high school. It's amazing when you think what Castle did. I mean, yeah, the team lost 5 more games, almost 30 or 40% of more than it did the previous year. But here's a guy, he had to come in and deal with Welker and Moss and all that, all the demands and expectations. So you're going to have Edelman behave in a way that probably instinctively it's going to be hard to do it sometimes. Yes, Andy, you wouldn't ask it if you didn't think it was a great challenge and a good question. I think it's going to be fast. Again, how many times it will be fascinating to watch do I end up saying that? Right. I got to get that out of my lexicon.